seventh verse, I'm sorry, the seventh chapter and the ninth verse of Ecclesiastes. Just one verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the heart or in the bosom of fools. Last week, you and I looked at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be ye angry. And we saw there that that was a positive command to be angry. Be ye angry. And here tonight, we've come here in this text, and it says, be not angry. So that sounds sort of like a contradiction, doesn't it? People who haven't read their Bibles, they don't understand their Bibles. Usually, people that maybe have read it half through, they find a verse like this or verses like this, and they jump up and say, contradiction, contradiction. Sort of like that verse in Proverbs that you may have read that says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be likened unto him. And then the very next verse, it says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And if you don't rightly divide that, if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord to help us and guide us, well, sure, you're going to say, man, what a contradiction. But the first verse of that passage is saying, answer not a fool according to his folly. Don't answer a fool foolishly. When you talk with a fool, don't let him pull you down on his level. If you do, you'll be just like him. You'll be standing screaming and pointing your finger and getting angry. So don't answer a fool that way. But answer him according to his folly. Answer him wisely. Answer him deliberately. Answer him decisively and calmly. And that way he should be embarrassed, at least reproved for his foolishness. And you'll deliver him, hopefully, from his conceit. Be ye angry, we looked at last week, and as we studied that, and I want to look at that just a little bit more in the way of introduction to this lesson. Be ye angry in Ephesians 4:26, and we saw that as a command to be angry at sin. To be angry at sin. God Himself is angry. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, verse 1 says, be ye imitators of God. Be followers of God. So God hates sin. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with sin. And therefore He commands us to be angry with sin. There's four ways that God demonstrates to us and reveals to us His anger at sin. One, the Bible tells us, is the creation. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men that hold the truth in unrighteousness. How is the wrath of God revealed from heaven? Well, when we look at the things that's made, they preach to us. Psalms 19 said they speak in every language. And what they say is, God is my creator. God created the heavens. And what kind of a God is He? He must be powerful. He must be mighty. He must be holy. He must be pure. He must be just. And the creation itself reveals unto us that God is angry with men's sins. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And then we have the moral written law of God. We have it in our Bible. Some people have it hanging on their walls. We got it in tablets of stone. It was passed down through the descendants of the children of Israel. The law of God, the written moral law of God. It's in our conscience, isn't it? It's in every man's conscience. And it reveals the holy character of God. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt not do those. Those are holy commandments that reveals the very character and nature of God. What He allows. What He's pleased with and what He's displeased with. And doesn't hell reveal God's anger at sin? Boy, it does, doesn't it? It does. It's a place and condition in which sin is punished. We're told about this all through the Scriptures. Such Scriptures as this in 2 Thessalonians 1. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished. Is God angry with sin? Hell reveals that, doesn't it? And the threat of our Lord's coming reveals that. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction. And the Bible often predicts that same time when the Lord comes to punish sin. Psalms 56:7, shall they escape thy iniquity? No. In thine anger cast down the people. Pour out thine indignation upon them and let thy wrathful anger. Boy, that just, I can't even hardly grab a hold of such a phrase. Wrathful anger. I guess there's anger, then there's wrathful anger. Let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble. So hell, that must be a place of God's anger. He must be angry with sin. But you know the chief way that God's anger with sin is revealed is at the cross of Calvary. There's where God punished sin. And therefore we see his anger against sin more than any place else, because his wrath literally fell upon the Son of his love. He was punished because of iniquities and for our sins and transgressions. Listen to Psalm 61:1, and this is the verse the Lord Jesus quoted when he was here headed to the cross. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We love those things, don't we? The love and the mercy and the goodness of God that's revealed. But listen at this next line. The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all them that mourn. What is the cross? It's a revelation of God's vengeance, his hatred upon sin. Isaiah 63 tells us almost the same thing. Was speaking of the Lord Jesus about him and said, who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Then the Lord Jesus answered, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Then they answer him back, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like those that tread in the winepress? In other words, he's bloody. His skin was bloody and bleeding. And he says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I have tread them in my anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. This is speaking of God's vengeance upon sin. But our text has taken another, is taken to be another kind of anger, not anger at sin, but something, some kind of anger that's directed at something besides sin. Remember the little phrase last week, he that will be angry and not sin, let him be angry with sin only. And this is an anger that we're warned against, that it's not at sin, it's at someone merely, or our circumstances or something else. And you know, I don't know, If we're not angry with sin, I don't know of any other kind of anger that's justified in God's Word. If a man is angry at anything besides sin, then our text says right here that anger rests in the bosom of fools. Be not hasty in your spirit to be angry. Anger is everywhere condemned. And the opposite of anger is commended in God's Word. Listen to these verses, most of them in the book of Proverbs. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is of a hasty spirit exalteth folly. The discretion or careful deliberation of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Then angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. These are all from the book of Proverbs, and more than you can find, and yet one of the most common expressions in our day is one of anger, is it not? Especially in our day, everybody's mad, ain't they? Everybody is angry. I was so angry, one person will say. Why were you angry? What a person said to me, what a person did to me, the situation I found myself in, I was made so angry. I was made so angry. And none of that anger has anything to do with sin. We mash our finger and we get angry. And there's no telling what we may think. There's no telling what we may do. There's no telling what we may say. We find ourselves in a less than desirable circumstances and we become angry. Someone manifests a bad attitude towards us in word or do something to us or blow a horn while we're sitting at a red light, or give us a vulgar gesture with their finger, and immediately what happens? Anger arises in our very spirits. And sometimes it rests in our spirit for hours or even days. And what did the Bible just say about that? Anger rests in the heart of fools. And sometimes it breaks out in wrath, doesn't it? Wrath of words, deeds, or in some other way it's manifested. This is why we're told to let all anger and wrath and bitterness and evil speaking be put away from us with all malice, and be ye kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You know, we talk some about anger, but we don't realize the seriousness of it. We don't realize the seriousness of this command to be not hasty in your spirit to be angry. And there's a reason for that, and I want us to see this in the remainder of this lesson tonight. But let's begin this way. What is the remedy for it? Seems like we're starting the other end, maybe what I should, but let's look at it this way. What's the remedy for it? In most cases, our problem is this. We lack understanding. Isn't most of our problems arising out of the fact that we don't understand something? And when we don't understand something, we're not thinking properly about that thing. He that is slow to anger is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. I hope the Lord opens our understanding tonight and lets us see something about the sinfulness of anger. So the remedy is this, first of all, to diagnose it. We have to diagnose it. A doctor never treats an illness until it's diagnosed, does he? He never starts giving you medication. He never puts you on some kind of a regimen of exercise or anything. The first thing he does is diagnose your problem. If anger is a sin, we need to examine ourselves by the Word of God to see if we're being afflicted by it. We may think anger is okay as we cover it up and keep it within us. And aren't we good at that? We've learned, especially when you get our age, that you can cover something up. And as long as it don't burst out, as long as we don't boil over, you know, we think, well, as long as we hide it. Sometimes anger is manifested in so many ways, sometimes in pouting and sulking, going away and being by ourselves. We got ways to hide anger, don't we? But you know, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He that says, be not angry, knows even when we conceal it in our spirit, deep within our hearts. Let all anger be put away from you. Be not angry. Diagnose it. Diagnose it. That's one of our biggest problems. We don't want to face our problems, do we? We're like this sometimes in the natural realm too, brothers and sisters. If we think we got a problem, or we pre-diagnose it, we won't go to the doctor. How many people we heard of dying because they were afraid to go to the doctor? We're afraid of diagnosis, aren't we? But this is one thing we need. We just need to confront it by God's Word and search ourselves and see if we have problems with anger. Understanding. We need that. Why? Not only to diagnose it, but to find out its cause. The cause. Anger is such a disease that we cannot apply the remedy until we find out the cause. Because if we don't deal with the cause, the disease keeps reoccurring. One cause is pride. That's pride. Why would I be angry at someone because of the way they've treated me? I'm so angry I just boil over. I'm stewing. And in some way or another, I think about retaliating. Well, I'm angry because I don't deserve such treatment. I'm better than that. I'm a better person than they give me credit for being. They should put the same estimation on me that I put on myself and think as highly of me as I do myself. If they put the same estimation upon me that I put upon myself, they would always be kind and considerate because I'm worthy. What is that? Is that not pride? Of course it's pride. If a person ever treats me in a way that is beneath my estimation of myself, it angers me. That is pride. There's three things in the Scripture sometimes that we see go together. Pride, anger, and wrath. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Psalms 21 and verse 24. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 48:29. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogance and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart, I know his wrath, saith the Lord. See that? And wrath, what is wrath but pride, anger manifested? That's all it is, isn't it? Pride, anger, and wrath go hand in hand. When our Lord Jesus was preaching to the Jews, the first time he went to Nazareth to preach, and he told about this woman, she was the only lady, a widow woman, that God sent a prophet to sustain her through the years of famine in Israel. And Naaman, a Syrian leper, was the only one that God sent the prophet to heal him of his leprosy. And both of those people were Gentiles. And that so infuriated and offended the pride of those Jews, they were so angry they sought to take the Lord Jesus and cast him over the cliff. They were offended, their pride. Haman's pride was so offended because Mordecai would not bow and acknowledge him to be a great general that Haman built a gallows to hang Mordecai. Nebuchadnezzar, the king's pride was so offended because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down and worship him that he threw them in the fiery furnace. And all of this had to do with anger because of their pride. When I am boiling in my spirit with anger over the way someone has treated me, this must be my diagnosis. But it's tough to take. I've been there. I know it's tough to take. But here's the diagnosis. Proud and haughty scorner is my name. My disease is pride. Listen to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Paul says this, I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, every last child of God, every believer, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. How highly should a man think of himself? Listen to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If a man thinks he's anything above nothing, then he's proud. And he's apt to be offended and angry if someone don't have the same high estimation of him as he has of himself. You and I, brothers and sisters, should not only be amazed and thankful for the goodness and kindness and long-suffering of God towards us, but we also should be thankful and even amazed for the goodness, long-suffering, and the kindness of any of our fellow man, for we are undeserving of either God or man's kindness. That's what we should think of ourselves. And it's pride that makes us to think otherwise. He that is slow to anger is of great understanding. But anger and wrath rest in the bosom of fools. Sometimes we might think we're justified in becoming angry of some situation that we find ourselves in. We don't think enough about this, do we? But the Scripture says, be not angry. Don't be hasty to be angry. Don't be angry with anybody else because of what they do to you or say to you. I'm sure they've not treated you probably as worthy as you need to be treated. And do not be angry with the situation that we find ourselves in. Things have gotten out of our control and we get angry. And when we get angry at the situation we find ourselves in, who are we really angry with? Because who is in control of our situation? Someone is working outside and it begins to rain. They throw down their stool. They're tools, and they stomp in the house, and they're angry. And who are they must be angry with? The one who commands the rain. It's understandable when the world gets angry at God's sovereign providence. Their minds are carnal, and their enmity against God. But can it ever be excused in the believer? God rules our situation for wise purposes, either to try our faith, or to chasten us, or to reveal a greater degree of mercy. In all situations, our sovereign Lord is working everything for the good of those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. Every situation, that is so. King David was fleeing from his son Absalom because he had sinned against the Lord. And the Lord told David, I'll raise up men in your own house that's going to persecute you. And Absalom, his son, was one of them. He ran David out of Jerusalem. David and his men went up the Mount of Olives with their heads covered, barefooted, and crying. He got to the top of the hill, and there was a man walking along a few yards from him, throwing rocks at him and calling him a bloody man. One of David's men said, let me go over and take off his head. And David said, you leave him alone. God has put it in his heart to curse me. Why didn't David's anger burn against such a man? Wretched, hollering such things and calling the king such names as a bloody man. David knew that God was in control of that situation. And if he was angry, he must be angry with God because God was in control. So he left it with the Lord. It becomes somewhat common to hear someone say, "I'm angry with God." That's become way too common. One man even said, "I forgive God." What a horrible, horrible attitude. What a blasphemous. I cannot stress how blasphemous such a statement is. Has God sinned? Has God erred that someone has to forgive him? How could anybody be angry with God? What is that saying to make a statement like that? That's inexcusable from anybody. And yet we hear it in our day, do we not? He has not dealt with any of us as we deserve to be dealt with. And every man this side of hell has been dealt out a lot of mercy, saved or unsaved. You and I can understand a wicked world being angry with God's sovereign rule. Their minds are carnal, their enmity against God. Revelations 11:17 tells us about this wicked world. The saints in heaven said, "We give you thanks, Lord God Almighty, because you have taken to you your great power and have reigned." And what's the very next phrase? "And the nations were angry." Yes, this world hates God. Yes, this world is angry with God. It's angry at His rule. It's angry at His gospel, His law, His providence. This world hates God. But that's inexcusable for any child of God to be angry with God in any aspect. I want you to look in Job chapter 40, way over to your left, before the book of Psalms, of Job chapter 40. It's sad, inexcusable, but sad that we see certain aspects of this in our own self. And I guess it shows us, really, why the Bible gives us such warnings against anger. Because if we're hasty in our spirits to be angry, it's just about certain that we're going to reach the point that we're angry with God. And we've seen that to a degree even in the greatest of God's children. Even in this man Job, who began to justify himself and to plead his own cause and how he wasn't deserving of what had come upon him. And he got to the point where he was condemning God. Look what he says in Job chapter 40 in verse 7 and verse 8. "Gird up now thy loins." This is God speaking to Job. "I will command of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment?" Man, you going to disannul what I'm doing even in your life? "Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?" My word, Job, condemning God that you may be righteous? You've reached the point you don't like the way He's dealing with you, so you're going to condemn Him? What an awful attitude. "Just that you may be righteous." I tell you, we may think that we're beyond this attitude. But as long as you and I are in this wretched, filthy flesh, we're capable to think anything, even about the God that we love. And that's why we have these warnings. The Lord Jesus told His disciples to get in the ship. And they were going to the other side. They got out in the middle of that sea, in the midst of the storm. Everything they did to deliver themselves was fruitless. And then they woke Him up. And tell me what kind of attitude this displayed on their part. "Carest thou not that we perish?" And we see a degree of this in Martha and Mary in John 11 when their brother had died and the Lord Jesus didn't show up for 3 days. And what's the first thing both of those sisters said to the Lord when they saw Him? If you had been here. And can't you almost hear under their breath, and why weren't you? We trusted you. We waited upon you. And you weren't here. I think this is why we have the warning here that we do in our text. Be not hasty to be angry. Look upon your situation. Examine your heart with an understanding and enlightened mind. He that is slow to be angry is of great understanding. And let's close with 1 Peter chapter 5. And look in verse 5. I think this is probably after we've diagnosed the problem, realized the cause of it, this is one of the remedies for it. In verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. What's associated with anger? Pride. And He gives grace unto the humble. Now, isn't that a remedy as you and I associate and fellowship with one another? To submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, to be clothed with humility, that's a remedy for our being angry. In verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Instead of having thoughts of being angry with God, which is unjust and exceeding sinful, what did Peter say? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to His providence in all the situations and circumstances you find yourself in. Submit to God in those. Cast in all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. May God bless His word.